With just two rounds to go and the action really hotting up in the 2019 Women's Six Nations, it's time for us at Sportsbill to bring you yet another special in conjunction with K2 and the 52 blog. This week, we're lucky to welcome on someone I believe is one of the biggest rising stars of the international game in Scotland's Jade Conkle. A thundering ball carrier, terrific defender and all-round superb athlete, Conkle has been a key component in the rise of the performances shown by Scotland in the last few years, especially since becoming her country's first professional full-time rugby player back in 2016. She's also incredibly switched on away from the pitch too, realising the power she has as an athlete to inspire people across social media, while also recently setting up her own business with Harlequin's teammate Holly Myers to help educate individuals how to best look after themselves with tailored workouts and nutritional programmes. We talk about all this and much more, including tattoos, wrestling with her brothers, and fighting to stop her sister plucking her eyebrows, in a wide-ranging interview. Unfortunately, the line isn't always the greatest, but what Jade says more than makes up for this, so make sure you don't go anywhere for the next half an hour. Hello listeners and welcome back to our third Women's Six Nations special in conjunction with the 52 blog and K2. Having focused on England and Ireland so far, our attention now turns to Scotland and specifically their back row powerhouse, Jade Conkle. So first of all, welcome to the show, Jade, and thank you very much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
So at the time of recording, Jade and her Scotland teammates are building up to their fourth game of the 2019 tournament against Wales. And I hope you don't mind me saying, Jade, but it's probably not been quite the start to the tournament that you wanted, but you've had a week or so away and now back together. And how is the mood in the camp?
Yeah, like it's a rough start to the campaign. Obviously, we've taken a positive coming into camp. Like, everyone left camp after France and we all had different tasks to do with an analysis. So we've all come back together, we've all done our analysis, done our roles, and you know, we've had our meetings, we've kind of spoke through what we need to do, what we need to focus on, and things are looking quite positive as well. And training today was really positive and I think everyone's on the same page and just absolutely great.
And I imagine you're pretty keen to get revenge on Wales as well, your next opponents, after losing by just a point last year.
Yeah, so it's always quite close to Wales. So 2 years ago at Broadway Stadium, we beat them 15-15. Yeah, last year at Colwyn Bay, they beat us 18-17. So the scores are getting higher each year, but always really close and a point in it. So makes it really exciting, makes it, you know, a blooming tough 80-minute shift in as well. So hopefully we'll be able to get the one up and take away a nice win on Friday night.
And this will be your second game of the tournament, having been forced to sit out the first two games. I guess, how frustrating was that for you to not be there and not be part of the team?
Yeah, like, you're always a part of the team regardless. Like, you know, you stay in contact with a lot of the players. You're still, you know, chatting away, sending your good luck messages. But, yeah, obviously it's super hard being on the sideline, and especially when you're at home watching on the telly, which, you know, that in itself is amazing, the fact I could be at home watching on the telly. But, yeah, like, you want to be able to be on the pitch and have your teammates back, but finally be back with them as well.
And you mentioned there amazing to be able to watch the game on the TV. For me, it feels like this tournament has been a massive game changer in terms of the coverage and the amount of talk around women's rugby and the Women's Six Nations. Is that something you as players feel as well?
Yeah, we've got BBC ABBA now filming our games, and like even the away games as well. So like, it was, you could get it on BBC ABBA for those back home, and like the streaming availability and all the, that's absolutely brilliant, because it means we can watch all the games as well. And it means that people messaging me asking me, oh, did you watch this game, did you watch that game? And like, it's great that there's lots of other people watching it as well, and it's easy to share links and a lot easier to find as well. So it's definitely probably the, well, definitely is the best it's ever been, and hopefully is going to just keep continuing with like ease to find it and like channels and stuff as well. So yeah, really good.
And it's not just in terms of media coverage as well. It seems as though teams are doing battle off the pitch to who can break the standalone Women's Six Nations crowd attendance next. I mean, that must be something that's pretty exciting for you guys as well, that so many fans from across all different countries are wanting to come and watch you guys live.
Yeah, it's great. Like, the fact that the crowds are forever growing as well. And now that, like, you've kind of in for the last few years now, which is brilliant because it actually feels like a home as well. And it, like, you see people being like, can't wait to be at Scotstoun on Friday night. You've got lots of people being like, see you at Scotstoun on Friday night. Like, it's a nice atmosphere, and the fact that, you know, lots more supporters are getting more people to the games as well is absolutely brilliant. Like, it does make a massive difference. Like, when you keep the crew on that pitch, it does make that extra 5% just pick up, and, you know, it really spurs you on.
And how much has the women's game grown in Scotland across the last few years? Is there a much more bigger core of fans now supporting you guys?
Yeah, definitely. So I got capped, this is my seventh Six Nations, and the change that's happened from 2013 to now is just out of this world. Like, the support all around the kind of programme, the media coverage, the fans in general, like, more people taking notice of women's sport. Even people that you didn't even know were watching, you get a nice message or, like, read on social media, kind of good comments from that. So the way it's moved forward has progressed so quickly, and it's only progressing just as quick to continue as well, which I think is absolutely brilliant.
There's also been serious progression across the last few years for Scotland on the pitch as well. You're starting to win a lot more games, be a lot more competitive. How much has your skill set gone up, and how much have you improved as a group over the last few years since you made your debut?
Yeah, like, massively. Like, I think the whole game in general is changing. I think every year, every team steps up, so it makes it harder every single year. But I think that's the beauty of sport. It's like, you get better, it gets harder. You get better, it gets harder. It never gets easier, which I think is absolutely fantastic. And I think that's something that really builds, like, tenacity and resilience in a player. But I think, yeah, like, seeing us step up on the pitch and really start to play good rugby, good quick rugby, and, like, follow the game plan, and, like, when things fall into place and you trust the process, it just, like, looks and feels really good. And you know that when you're out on that pitch that you've got your teammates back for 8 minutes and they've got yours, so it makes such a difference to know that you can just play the game that you love. And I think that in itself helps build the confidence, it helps build the skill set. And with more time that we're getting together as a squad, you start to learn how different players play around you as well. You learn their strengths, maybe their weaknesses, and you just kind of learn, like, to know where that player is going to be. And we've still got a long way to go, and that's always going to be the case. Like, we're always going to be improving, just like other teams. So it's just going to be a case of building year on year on year, but also having the belief that we are building, we are getting better, and seeing the results definitely pays off.
And I guess one of the reasons why the team has improved so much is the introduction of full-time contracts for quite a number of players. And it was well documented a couple of years ago, 3 years ago now, that you were the first Scottish women's player to become full-time. I guess, I know you must have talked about this a lot, but how important was that for you, and how special was it when you found out?
Yeah, like, it was a bit bizarre. A lot of people are like, oh, how did it feel? And, like, you know, you could say it was a dream come true, but, like, that is genuinely what it was. Like, it was something that, you know, I never thought could happen. And especially when it did, like, I thought I was in trouble getting called into a meeting into the manager's office. So offered a stage three contract at that time, was just a bit of a shock. And, you know, like, it was a really exciting time. But what I've said before, like, one of the best things about it is that, yes, it was the first, but it won't be the last. And now that we've got 20 place is just absolutely fantastic, because it is showing that more support is going into the women's game, and we're building as a squad and we can do it.
And how has it helped your game, being able to train professionally? How much do you feel like you've improved as a player over those last 2.5-3 years?
Massively. Like, I've definitely got a lot fitter and a lot stronger. Even from last year alone, I've definitely got a lot fitter, and I'm finding myself in a lot more instances throughout the game, which is obviously a massive impact when I can carry a lot more around the pitch and I can get around a bit better. And I think, like, just being able to take care of your body that little bit more and try and knuckle down on the finer details, like, spend a lot of time doing analysis, which, you know, I'm a bit of a geek, so I really enjoy anyway. But it's just having a bit more time to do the kind of rugby stuff, which I think has a massive impact on your personal performance, your individual performance as well, and hopefully can then bring that back into camp. But, you know, everyone puts in an absolute shift regardless, and I think, yeah, like, obviously I'm in a very fortunate position that I can, you know, really hammer the sessions, and I'm in such a great setup down at Harlequins as well that I've got lots of support there and we can keep building.
And you mentioned Quinns there. You came over back over to England, having been in France at the start of this season. What was it about Quinns that attracted you to want to play for them?
So I've kind of been following Quinns for quite a while, but one of the co-head coaches was my first ever Scotland coach. She brought me up to the Scotland team when I was 18, back in 2000. And like, I've kind of been in chats with her prior, and I always knew that Harlequins were one of the top teams in the Tyrrell's Premiership, and that they were also doing everything that they could to drive the women's game forward. I think that in itself is absolutely fantastic. Like, you could see the support that they have at the women's side and what they're doing to try and build the game, and that's on and off the pitch as well. And that's a massive factor for me. Like, I want to help grow women's sport, and I want to do anything I can to be that. So to be involved in such a great club, like, is absolutely fantastic as well. And when I went to go down, and when I first joined as well, like, everyone was just automatically like inviting, like, you just got on with everyone, and then the setup itself is just, it's really good. So, you know, so it's definitely a good move, and from everything that I read and seen about it as well, like, it's certainly not disappointed.
And you mentioned there how Quinns is so forward-thinking in terms of driving women's sport. And one thing that's being publicised a lot at the moment is the Game Changer. I think I saw a video with you in it publicising the game the other day. We've spoken to our former guests, Jess Breach, Leanne Riley and Leah Lyons, all about this. But I guess you must be really excited for that game.
Yeah, it's going to be absolutely amazing. It's going to be great to play at the Stoop. It's going to be great to, you know, hopefully beat the record for attendance. I think the actual Game Changer advert that they had itself, I don't know if many people have seen it, but if you haven't, you should definitely go and check it out. Like, we've got the head coach, Karen Finlay, and two of the players, and they go from their day jobs into their Quinns kit. And I think that's a really powerful message, because you've got to see it to believe it, and what people do off the pitch and then what they do on the pitch is just absolutely incredible. So I think it really sends a powerful message, and the fact that we can get people along to kind of show them what we're all about, showcase some really high standard rugby as well, I think it's going to be publicised to push the women's game forward. It's been out of this world. It's been really incredible. So all the like workers and staff at the Stoop have done an amazing job so far.
And what is it being like at Quinns and then having to go and play against these guys in the Six Nations? Is that quite a fun experience, or do you just have to put that sort of friendship and to one side and just treat them as any other player?
You've got to treat them as any other player. Like, obviously, it's exciting to play against people that you play with in the club. It's kind of good because you kind of know the way they play as well, but it works both ways. They then know how you play. And I know, like, there'll be some that'll try and rile you up on the pitch, and then there'll be some that'll have a bit of banter. But, like, you know, at the end of the day, like, we're playing for our country and we want to win for our country. So when you're on the pitch, you're doing everything you possibly can in that shirt to do the best job for your country. And then when you're off the pitch, you know, you can have a high five, you can have a wee chat, and then it's back to being friends.
And off the pitch as well, being part of Quinns has also seen another exciting development for you in the last few weeks in terms of a brand new business that you've launched. I wonder if you could just talk us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so myself and Holly Myers, who also plays at Harlequins, we both had shoulder operations in the summer. And she had hers a few days before mine, but we had them from the same surgeon. And so we spent the last, like, 5 months doing shoulder rehab together. So, you know, we obviously grew quite close, like, got a good friendship out of it. And then we'd done our PT qualifications. So we're like, right, well, what can we do? So we sat down, brainstormed a bit, and then decided to come up with like an online PT company. So we sat down, we sent stuff off to a graphic designer to get a logo, and then it just kind of built from there. So it just kind of focuses on, like, everyone lives busy lifestyles. Like, people are at work, or they've got their family life, this, that, and the next thing. And there's so many different fad stories about diets, nutrition, all that kind of stuff out there. So our kind of role is to develop a structured schedule that's going to suit the individual training wise and give nutritional advice, so we can provide a program down to a T that benefits their schedule, which can can be completely done in their own time, but we're always accessible for questions, information, to write a programme that they're going to see the benefits for, and just kind of be that extra person to give a helping hand. And then from the nutritional side of things, just kind of advise. And we don't want to have like people on our programmes for like more than six months to a year. We want to teach and educate people so then they can live a healthy and active lifestyle by themselves and make good choices. And then with the name of the business, called it Apex Training and Performance, so Apex being the highest point of something, but then we wanted the initials to be ATP because our inner geeks came out to kind of bring out that whole high energy molecule as well. So that was, it was exciting to come up with, and so far, like, we only started a few weeks ago, but it's already taken off massively, which I think is absolutely great. And if we can make a difference in other people's lives and help them follow and reach their goal, then, you know, it's a great achievement for us as well.
And in terms of the program itself, a lot of sort of these Instagram influencers, for want of a better term, get sometimes criticized for only seemingly targeting what they're doing to a specific audience. But am I right in thinking you are tailoring this for each specific individual and any individual who wants to get involved?
Yeah, like, so we've got quite a rigorous process. So we go through a client interview and then a health questionnaire. So we kind of like gauge what they are looking for. Like, if we genuinely feel like we're not going to be any use to them, like, we'll happily say, like, I don't think we're going to be on the same page, like, X, Y, and Z. Because the last thing we want to do is write a fast program that's not going to benefit anybody. Like, we want to be positive, we want to make a positive influence to other people. So, yeah, like, people come to us and they have various different goals. Like, we want to be able to come up with something that's going to structure that around that. But, like, are specific in that we want to try and have people who are motivated to change, and if they aren't, we want to kind of help motivate them. That's why we're there to guide them through the whole program as well. So yeah, like, it's great that we can offer to various kind of people, and like, sooner we're going to have other programs as well that kind of develop into maybe more sports specific sides as well as, you know, general day-to-day healthy living.
And when was there a specific moment where you and Holly actually decided to sit down and think, let's set this up? Or was it a gradual, oh, we've realized we both like the same thing, we both have the same goals, and then it just sort of built up from there?
So I've been doing my PT stuff since last year, so I've and then extra courses on top of that just to kind of build stuff on the CV, and then Holly had done hers. So then she was like, do you want to grab a coffee and we can have a chat, like, what are you planning to do? So I kind of explained kind of what my thoughts were, and then she explained what her thoughts were. So from there we were like, well, why don't we try and build something together? Because then we're very different people, like, we're very different body shapes, we've got very different like outlooks on the kind of system as well. So if we can bring that together, we're getting information from different parts as well. So it's not just specifically like, I want to lift weights in the gym. Like, there's more aspects, there's more knowledge, and there's different opinions going into our program as well. So it means that we can balance and bounce off each other to have something that's going to actually make an impact to various different people. Because yeah, at the end of the day, no one person's the same. I think it's great that we can build off each other and actually learn from each other as well.
And I'm sure you must have seen the English Institute for Sport last week released their brand new scheme, sort of trying to help athletes move on with their careers once sort of the playing is over. And is that something that's in your mind as well, that was important to you to have something, you know, to look forward to for the day when it comes when you have to hang your rugby boots up?
Yeah, I think, yeah, life after sport, you can't be daft with it. You have to have a plan. If you have a plan, you're only going to suffer in the long run. And, like, I love to learn. I love to read up on different facts. Like, I have a huge passion in the nutritional side of things as well as the fitness side of things. So the fact that I can teach others but continuously learn as well, I think is great. And that's only going to build up, you know, a mountain of knowledge for when I do hang up the rugby boots. And obviously, having been to uni and having done lots of things to build up on the CV, it gives me a lot more scope. And then hopefully we can really take off with Apex Training and Performance as well, and we build that into something that's going to be like running for a long time as well, which will definitely benefit life after rugby.
And talking about the program, it's designed to be really helpful and inspirational for a lot of women and men, I guess, as well. And I've noticed going through your social media profiles, you do a lot of inspirational posts. I guess, how important is it to you to sort of share your experiences and help other people, not just in terms of physical training, but just in terms of overcoming adversity?
Yeah, hugely. I think if, like, the power of sport, I think, is absolutely amazing. And I think what you learn from sport, the adversity, the resilience, the whole having to have a tenacious approach to things, it kind of creates and shapes you as a person. And I think the way sport does it is so different to any other thing in life. So if I can help by just showing that, you know, we're human, and what you can learn from the adversity, what you can learn from the setbacks, is so much more than just thinking that your whole world's crumbling. It's like kind of understanding that it's all right for it to be difficult, and it's all right to face these challenges and for you to think it's hard, but there's also a bigger picture on top of that, and like kind of what the lessons can teach you. So if I can in any way possible, yeah, I put up lots of inspirational, motivational kind of posts, but they're genuine. So if I can kind of show people what I think and what I'm going through, hopefully then that can build into giving a bit of belief to other people as well, which I think is really important. And it might help one person, it might help 10 people, but it's just to show that everyone's human and we can get through different setbacks, and actually some of them are for the better as well, because it builds us and teaches us to be more, you know, resilient in many different aspects.
And I guess one of the posts that really stood out for me was the one you posted back in, I think it was November, when you made your return after that shoulder injury in a Scotland shirt. And it really showed how much rugby meant to you. I guess it must just be your biggest passion in life, I guess.
Yeah, like, rugby is literally everything to me. Like, I eat, sleep and breathe rugby. Everything I do, like, goes towards rugby. And to obviously, when you get an injury, it's hard. Like, the only thing you want to do is be on the rugby pitch. But then you remember that there's so much more that you can do off the pitch to then put yourself in a good place when you get back on the pitch. So obviously Canada was my first full 80 minutes back to rugby, and having been out for so long with my shoulder, to actually have the opportunity to play for my country and play the sport that I love, like, there's no words for it. You can't actually articulate how much it means, because some people don't get that opportunity. So you have to, especially in the world of sport and especially the world of rugby, you have to take every single game that you can and play for 80 minutes, because you want to do everything you can for your country, you want to enjoy it, and you want to know that you could have not done anything more on the pitch. And I think, yeah, like, love everything to do with it, and wouldn't change a thing.
And I guess that love comes from growing up in a pretty rugby mad family, I think it's fair to say. Was there any choice that you had to, you weren't ever going to play rugby, or was it literally just, or you had no choice?
To be fair, like, there wasn't much rugby for me growing up. So I played 1 year in a minis team. It was an all-boys team when I was about 9. But after that, there was no rugby. So I only played rugby maybe like a few times a year for random teams around Scotland growing up. And I remember being at a camp once, and they were like, put your hand up if you're going to play for Scotland. And I didn't put my hand up, because I was like, well, I don't play rugby. I don't really know anything about it, and there's no rugby where I'm from. So I'm not going to put my hand up and think something when it's never going to happen. So I started playing basketball instead of rugby, and I played at played for Highland in the Scottish League. So that was kind of like my main sport, but it wasn't until I was about 17. Like, I watched my brothers play rugby, I watched my dad play rugby, and I was like, nah, I've had enough. Like, I want to play rugby too. Like, I was fed up wrestling my brothers in the garden, or like fighting my sister off and trying to pluck my eyebrows. So rather than that, I was like, well, I want to play rugby. So that's when I decided to make the long trips down to Glasgow and Edinburgh happen, so I could play a bit more.
Oh, wow. So I didn't realise that was quite behind your story. So it was very difficult to actually find the opportunities to play them when you were growing up.
Yeah, like, obviously came from a rugby-orientated family, like, who have always loved rugby. Obviously watched my brothers and my dad play. And my mum played when I was very, very young, but the team disbanded until 2013. So, yeah, always wanted to play rugby, but the opportunities were quite scarce back when I was younger.
And I guess then you probably, to where you've got now, it must almost be like a dream then to see how much you've progressed and to be playing for your country and have proven not just yourself, but all those coaches wrong previously.
Yeah, like, to be honest, it's just a whirlwind. Like, if you had said this when I was younger, I would have not believed you, like, at all. So the fact that, like, I do sometimes think and just look back and be like, was this all happened? Like, literally one thing after another, and, like, it's literally gone from 0 to 100, and, you know, I can only be grateful for that, and especially for my parents as well. Like, when I decided to move away when I was 18 so I could be closer to rugby, like, they were so supportive, and same with university when, after my third year, I said I was going to take some time out to just concentrate on rugby, like, they were so supportive, and I think that's something that's definitely put me to where I am today, because without their support, some of those decisions wouldn't have been as easy to make.
And I guess, obviously, rugby is a team game, but with that whole whirlwind, it must be then so nice to hear people, you know, really well respected in the game, including your coach, Shane Munro, talking about how important you are to this Scottish team. And, yeah, I guess that must just be such a nice feeling for you to hear people rating you in such a way.
Yeah, like, obviously, it's really nice to hear stuff like that. And, yeah, like you said, like, rugby's a team sport. Everyone's got a role to do, and everyone does their role. But, yeah, like, of course, it's nice to know that people support and have your back, and, like, you know that it's each the same for everyone. And, you know, I'm a familiar face. I've been around for quite some time now. I feel like I am one of the old ones in the squad now, believe it or not, even at 25. So yeah, I think, like, it's great to be able to share my knowledge as well, and, like, be involved in the journey to see the team grow as well. And so yeah, the fact that we're getting more support, and it's nice to get compliments like that, like, it's nice to see the progress.
And am I right in thinking you have some permanent reminders of your progress tattooed onto your body as well?
I do. I mean, I got a little bit of stick for it, but, do you know what, like, there was a picture from it was my very first win in a Six Nations, and it was against Wales in 2017, and I got that picture because, well, I've played since 2013, and we've been close to winning, we've progressed every year. Reminder of that you stick through the hard times, and if you make little improvements, eventually big things will occur. So I think that was a massive thing for me. So that picture that I seen really meant a lot to me. So, like, my tattoo pretty much wearing my heart on my sleeve, so I couldn't not have something to do with that big special moment.
And I guess, finally, rounding off the interview, going ahead beyond this year's Six Nations tournament, I guess, what are the hopes for you in Scotland? We've got a World Cup coming up in a couple of years. Where are you hoping the team is going to be by the time that comes around?
Yeah, obviously, we are in the process of building to qualify for the World Cup. And then when we get to the World Cup, we are competing at the World Cup. It's not just going to be a finished job when we get there. We are going to get there, and we're going to compete, and we're going to continue to progress. And, you know, we're going to show why we deserve to be there and exactly what we can do, and showcase, you know, that we're developing and progressing, and that we're a force to be reckoned with.
And this is a really exciting time for not just women in sport, but Scottish women in sport. There are so many up-and-coming teams and athletes really capturing the heart, such as the football team, Laura Muir, Eve Muirhead. I guess, hopefully, you're hoping one day that you and the rugby team can be right up there as well.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I really hope so. And it's like what you said, like, if we can build ourselves up there and really inspire and motivate and get other girls wanting to join in, be in our place and, you know, play for their country, then, you know, that'll be a great thing for us.
And that's a great way to round off a thoroughly enjoyable interview. It's been great to have you on, Jade. We wish you the best for the rest of the tournament and for going forward, and also for your business as well. We'll definitely be keeping an eye out on that.
That's great. Thanks so much for having me.
A huge thanks once again to Jade for coming on the show and chatting to us, and I know I really enjoyed getting to know more about her, and I hope you, the listeners, did too. We wish Jade and Scotland all the best for the remainder of the Six Nations and going ahead towards the World Cup qualifiers, while we're also really excited to see how her business kicks off. Meanwhile, we'll be back with a regular episode very soon, so make sure you keep your airwaves free for that.